Hi, this is Michael Klosser, back again with another Bible lesson, and today we're going to be talking about spiritual influence in people's lives, and we're going to begin by reading out of the book of Luke, chapter 13, beginning in verse 11. It reads, "And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years, and was bowed together, and could no ways lift herself up. And when Jesus saw her, he called to her him, and said unto her, Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. And the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation, because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day, and said unto the people, There are 6 days in which men ought to work. In them therefore come and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day. The Lord then answered him and said, Thou hypocrite, does not thou each one of you on the Sabbath day loose his ox or his donkey from the stall and lead him to water? And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound low these 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day?" So we see in verse 16 that Satan has bound this woman. Satan had bound the woman, and Jesus is performing a deliverance on the Sabbath day. Now, don't get confused regarding the Sabbath day. Let's just look at the miracle that Jesus did. So we see that Satan has bound this woman up with some kind of an infirmity. She has a spirit of infirmity, and the result is her physical body was bent over. It was bowed over, and she could no way lift herself up. And Jesus makes this parable connection. He said, you know, each one of you has an ox or a donkey that on the Sabbath day he's tied up and you have to loose him from being tied up to that so that you can get him water. And Jesus is saying that's the same thing this woman should be experiencing. The devil's got her tied up. She's got a spirit on her that's tied up her physical body, and she ought to be loosed just like your ox or donkey should be loosed. And so he comes to that woman and he says, "Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity." So there's a spirit on this woman, and Jesus sees it, and he says, we're loosing you from this spirit. Look what he's caused in your physical body. We're going to unloose that thing from you, and you can be set free. So he does. He said, you are loosed, and she was loosed. In other words, the spirit was cast out of her. And then in the chapter 13, verse 17, it says, the people rejoice for all the glorious things that were done by him. So in this case, it appears to be a direct relationship between the spirit of infirmity and the infirmity on this woman's body. The next account I want to look at is in Matthew chapter 9, beginning in verse 32. And they went out, and behold, they brought to him a dumb man possessed with a devil. This dumb means he was mute. He could not speak. They brought to him this man who couldn't speak, possessed with a devil. And when the devil was cast out, the dumb spake, or the mute person spoke, and the multitudes marveled, saying, it was never so seen in Israel. And then the Pharisees entered in and said, well, he's cast out devils through the prince of the devils, Beelzebub. And Jesus confronts them about that. So the Pharisees are admitting that Jesus cast a devil out of this guy, and that the devil had this person to where he couldn't speak, and then when the devil was cast out of him, the person could speak. And the Pharisees saw that. So to me, this is another example of what I'm going to call a direct relationship. The direct relationship between a spirit of mute, a spirit that would bring muteness onto the physical body, because this person had muteness in his physical body. As soon as the demon or the spirit was cast out, then the person could speak. Direct relationship. And the Pharisees couldn't deny it, so they said, well, he's not doing it because of God. He's doing it because he's in league with the devil. And Jesus confronts them about that and said that a kingdom divided against itself shall not stand. Okay, this next account comes out of the book of Matthew, chapter 12. Now, look for the relationship of this spirit and what happens to the physical body because of the spirit that's in that body. Okay, Verse 22, Matthew 12:22. Then was brought unto him one possessed with a devil, blind and dumb, and he healed him, insomuch that the blind and the dumb both spake and saw. And all the people were amazed, and said, Is not this the son of David? And when the Pharisees heard it, they said, This fellow does cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils. Same thing, after him again. They're after Jesus again. Same thing. Now, I don't want us to go into that right now, but I want us to see the fact that there's a direct relationship between this person can't speak and he's blind. But when the devil is cast out of him, the blind could see and the mute could speak. Direct relationship. And then Jesus says something very interesting in verse 28, Matthew 12:28. He says, If I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then know that the kingdom of God is come unto you. So here we have the kingdom of darkness manifesting in people, and the kingdom of God casting them out of people. So Jesus is explaining, the powers of darkness have manifested in this person, and I'm kicking that demon out, I'm kicking that devil out of that person's being, and when he does, healing takes place. Deliverance takes place, and the power of that wrong spirit manifesting in that person's body is now gone. Therefore, he's healed. Amen. You see, when you understand that God created people to have a Spirit of God with them, then you can understand what's happened here a little bit clearer. But the point of it is, God created people to have a connection with a spirit. That connection was to be the Holy Spirit. What happened was, after Adam and Eve sinned, sin came into the world, and because of that, now wrong spirits were coming into the people. And when those wrong spirits were coming into the people, whatever that spirit was, they could manifest it somehow in that person's physical body. A spirit of infirmity caused this woman to be bent over for 18 years of her life, and she could no way stretch herself straightened up. But a wrong spirit was somehow manifesting in this person's body to where physically she was a mess, and there was nothing that she could do about it. That's the power of the spirit, a wrong spirit. But the point of it is, the creation that God created people to have, this place where a Holy Spirit would abide with them, when they lost that position, now a wrong spirit slipped into that spiritual office that was meant for the Holy Spirit, and now this person feels, I'm complete now, I have a spirit, soul, and body, and yet it was a wrong spirit. And so the wrong spirit began to dominate the physical body and brought infirmity. We just saw a place where the wrong spirit caused blindness. The wrong spirit caused a person's tongue, they couldn't speak. A wrong spirit caused a physical body to be bent over. And it was for years. And Jesus could see the fact that a kingdom of darkness had come onto people's lives. Because of the fact of Adam and Eve's sin, it opened up the doorway for wrong spirits to come into people's lives. And there was nothing they can do about it, because the spirit world is stronger than the physical world. The spirit world can control the physical world. We just saw three examples of how spiritual world affected a physical being. Blindness, couldn't speak, bent over, any number of things happened. You see, sometimes I think we think, well, if a spirit ever got on me, I'd know it. I don't know that you would. I don't think the spirit is that blatant against your nature. They fit right into your nature. This is really kingdom against kingdom. The kingdom of darkness, the power of darkness, is being confronted by the kingdom of God, the kingdom of the Spirit of God. So the Spirit of God is confronting the spirit of the enemy of God in people that he's in covenant relationship with. That's why he says, ought not this daughter, being a daughter of Abraham, be loosed on the Sabbath day? When Scripture says, this daughter of Abraham, he's saying, this is somebody that's in covenant relationship with me. Now, somebody that's in covenant relationship with God should be healed of a wrong spirit. Amen? Let me read Matthew 12:28 again. Jesus says, "But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then know that the kingdom of God is come unto you." In Luke chapter 9, verse 1, it reads, "Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick." He called the 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils. He gave them dunamis power. That's just like physical strength. That's like a horsepower. Can physically overpower something. And not only did he do that, he gave them authority over all devils and to cure diseases. He gave them authority over devils. And he said, "Go preach the kingdom." The kingdom is the authority. The kingdom of God is the authority of God. And if these wrong spirits are occupying a person's life, they don't have authority there. They're there, but they don't have authority to be there. And you might have the power to push a demon out, but he can come right back unless you have authority. So the power, the level of authority is the lowest level to the human being. He can't stop it. The spirit of infirmity put it on him, on this woman, and he can't change it. He can't fix it. So there's more power in a spirit than there is in a human. And then he compares the powers of Beelzebub and the power of God. The authority of Beelzebub is over humans, but the authority of God is over devils. Oh, so when Jesus gave them authority over devils, then those devils are going to have to obey him. They're going to have to obey Jesus and whom he ever sent out with that authority. Now, I personally can easily see how if the authority of God comes onto the situation and there's a wrong spirit and they're under your authority, and all you have to do is say, "Get out in the name of Jesus." That's what Jesus said when he said, "You shall cast out demons." Why? Because you have more authority. Why didn't they have it before? Because Jesus had not come. Jesus is the highest authority. He's the highest in the land. He's the highest in creation over human beings. He is the highest office. Every spirit is subject to him. Jesus is the highest power. Look with me in Ephesians chapter 1. In chapter 1, verse 20, it reads, "The power that he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion in every name that is named, not only in this world but also in that which is to come. And has put all things under his feet." God put all things under Jesus' feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that fills all in all. Because what Jesus had done in perfect obedience to the Father rewarded him and gave him a name that is above every name. The name of Jesus is above every name that's named. This is a statement of authority. So Jesus is claiming his authority through covenant relationship with the people. And he sent the 12 out and he told them, "I'm going to give you power and I'm going to give you authority to cast out demons." And then in another place, he sent out 70 with the same authority and the same power. In Luke chapter 10, beginning at verse 9, he sent these 70 out and he said to them, "Heal the sick. And say unto them, the kingdom of God is come close to you, is come nigh unto you." That's how he could heal the sick. You see, every infirmity in the physical realm is under the power and the authority of Jesus. And I do believe that if you can get yourself under the authority of Jesus Christ, you will come under the authority of God. And the authority of God is over every wrong spirit there is, every infirmity there is. Jesus is our healer. begin reading out of Luke 10, verse 17. It says, "And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And Jesus said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. He says, Behold, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding, in this do not rejoice that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven." Their names are written in heaven because they are under the authority of Jesus Christ. And the devils are subject unto them because they're under the authority of Jesus Christ. And the people that were experiencing the authority over the demons and such were saying, "Well, we're so excited. The devils are subject to us in your name. The devils are subject to us through thy name." Now we know that Jesus himself, he has the name. He is the name. And he himself could cast out demons at will. And he gave that authority and power to the disciples and also to the 70. And as they were going out and they were casting out demons and healing the sick, and they were saying, "My goodness, even the devils are subject unto us." And Jesus says, "Don't rejoice in that. Rejoice in the fact that your names are written in heaven. You're going into the kingdom of God. And you'll abide there forever and ever and ever. Amen." You see, there'll come a day when there are no demons to cast out anymore. There'll come a day when the demons are all cast into the lake of fire and into hell itself. And there'll be no demons to overpower. There won't be any. Don't rejoice in the fact that devils are subject to you. Rejoice in the fact that you are part of the kingdom of God. Amen. You see, the devil's kingdom is a temporary kingdom. It won't last. The only thing that will last forever is the Word of God. Now, these demons are not aligned with the Word of God. They're doing their own thing. They found a niche or a way to get into people's lives, and they begin to tear up people's lives, but they're not on the Word of God. Therefore, the only thing that will last forever is the Word of God, and because they are not on the Word of God, they will not last forever either. Amen. And I'll say that about my own person as well. If I don't line up onto the Word of God, I will not have the eternal life that's in the Word of God. You know, I was reading this book by Watchman Nee. His last name is spelled N-E-E. Now, Watchman Nee had a terrific understanding of the things of the Spirit. And I have a couple of his books. One of his books was titled The Authority. And the authority, he kept saying in that book, the authority is the Word of God. And I couldn't quite get a hold of it, but he's saying, true authority is the Word of God. I couldn't quite get it. How is the Word of God a final authority? But when you think on it a moment, it's not that easy or that hard to understand. It's easy to understand that the authority that God has placed in the earth is His Word. His Word is His authority. Now, the thing of it is people have the ability to ignore His Word. And then when they do ignore His Word, God considers that rebellion, and there is a spirit of rebellion that will become their God for them. He will occupy the spiritual place in their being where God had created them to have a spirit with their beings. People are three-part being, their spirit, soul, and body. And what's happened here is that because Adam and Eve sinned, it brought that spirit of fear into people's lives, and because they had that spirit of fear, then another spirit came onto them and caused this woman to be bowed over for 18 years because a spirit had came upon her. It caused this person to be blind because a spirit came upon him. It caused this person that they couldn't speak because a wrong spirit had come upon them and took over. But then you have to go to the higher authority above that spiritual realm to get rid of them. Amen. Jesus says, you shall cast out spirits. Well, that's what he's saying. He said, I'm going to give you authority over the entire spiritual realm of darkness. Amen. There's still so much for us to learn. One final verse is in Matthew chapter 8, verse 16. It says, when evening was come, They brought unto him Jesus many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word, and healed all that were sick. He cast out the spirits with his word. How can he do that? Well, he can do it because his word is the highest authority. The word of God is the highest authority on the earth. And if you don't have a grasp on the word of God, you will be subject to wrong spirits. Not because they're in a higher authority, but they're in a higher authority over you as a human being until you come into the word of God, which is Jesus Christ. The highest authority on the earth is honoring the word of God. Amen. I don't know that we can jump to the conclusion that every infirmity is caused by a spirit, but I can see a few examples where we know that they were. And so it's all for us to continue learning, continue growing, and continue to understand the power of God. And also, it's important for us to yield to the Spirit of God, because that's where the authority is to remove the powers of darkness. It's under the name of Jesus. So you, first of all, need to come under the name of Jesus, and then begin to learn what that office means, and then begin to exercise that authority, and remove any forces of darkness that are affecting your physical body. Amen. You know, before they had doctors, they had the Spirit of God. Amen. You know, when you were born into this world, I think the Catholic religion calls it you were born with original sin. I had a hard time dealing with that, but I can recognize the truth of seed line, such that every human has a seed of iniquity in their lives because Adam had iniquity in his life. And because of that iniquity, the authority of spirits became more powerful than human beings and took over human beings. There's actually a kingdom of spiritual wickedness in this earth. But then came Jesus, and he established the kingdom of God, which is more powerful than the kingdom of wrong spirits. Amen. And it's even more powerful than human beings. Amen. So Jesus says, if you want authority and power over wrong spirits, come into my kingdom, be in right standing in my kingdom, and I'll see to it that those spirits cannot harm you. Behold, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Amen. These are the promises that God has made to us as we are in covenant relationship with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. If we're not experiencing this power, it's not because God's holding out on us. If we're not experiencing this power, it's because we have not submitted to the authority of Jesus Christ fully. When we do, he says, I have given you power over serpents and scorpions, over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means harm you. Amen.